Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for April 13th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. How's it going, man?
It's going well, dude. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I had a long day, and I'm sure you did, too.
Well, you know, I got to meet Konishiki today.
I saw the picture on Facebook, so that was cool. So you had a good experience.
That was good.
All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Luis Mendoza of the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters, and we're going to discuss a bunch of developments, including a record by the Swallows pitching staff, and we're going to talk about the new skippers and more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, so on Wednesday, I got to go out to Tokyo Dome, and I spoke to Luis Mendoza of the Fighters. And did you know he's the godfather of Lotte's Luis Cruz? He's the godfather of his child.
I know they're both from Mexico, and I know, so that was the extent of my knowledge about those two. But I was thinking about that because I spent, well, you can't spend a short time speaking to Luis Cruz. But I was thinking about that when we were talking the other day.
Yeah, they're good friends. And yes. I guess it's no surprise that they're both over here. Now, Luis Mendoza had a tough experience last year, and I think I talked about it on the show. He went 7-13, and he lost all those games. And a lot of times I was talking about the fact that the skipper let him pitch late into games, and a lot of times in leverage situations he was out on the mound battling to try to win the game, and they left him in. And one of the issues he had last year was he gave up a lot of hits to lefties. His splits against lefties were pretty bad. 321 was what lefties hit off of him last year, and righties only hit 218. But through his two starts,
well, I want to be a switch hitter. I'll learn how to bat left-handed if this guy's going to pitch.
Okay. Well, but as of Sunday, or as of the taping of the show, righties are 8-21. So they're hitting higher off of him, and then lefties are 2-27 so far.
That fixes it.
Well, no, it's only two starts. I mean, but it's a good start. It's a good start against the left-handers. It's not so good against the right-handers. But I think he pitched on Tuesday of last week. He pitched against the Sabre Lions, and they kind of stacked the lineup with a bunch of lefties. So he got him out, and he pitched 8 shutout innings. And
well, I think what's happening, I think there's a reason for that. And he touched on it. I don't think he said it explicitly, but the fact that his changeup's really been working for him this year.
Yeah, well, he said he had, and you'll hear in the interview, he's got control of all his stuff. Everything's working for him. So let's go ahead and take a listen to what he had to say.
All right, our guest this week on the show is Luis Mendoza. Thank you very much for sitting down with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, so how do you assess your performance from last year? You pitched really well, and you pitched in some tough games, but you ended up with 7-13 record, and they let you lose a lot of games. Essentially, they left you on the mound in some pretty important situations.
Yeah, first of all, I think for first year, it wasn't the season I expect, but I mean the numbers and the innings I threw, I mean, I feel good about it. The manager gave me the confidence to stay in the game to the 7th, sometimes 8th inning. And yeah, like you said, tough games. I lose 12 games, but like 12 of them, I think they were close games. I really stayed in the mound for a long time, but I appreciate the confidence of the manager.
That's what I was thinking the whole time. Because normally they'll take the, especially a foreign pitcher, but anybody who gets near about 10 losses, they start to take them out early in the games. It was the opposite for you, because late in the season they left you out there.
Yeah. Like you said, for foreign guys, they don't have a little bit patience, with them. But I mean, I've just stayed during all season as a starter and just tried to do my best.
And you did a good job. And now, what did they tell you about this season? What did they want from you in terms of your starts?
The manager said to me like they wanna pitch me more. They want me to pitch more innings, more starts, try to get to 30 starts this year and to 200 or over 200 innings. So I'm good with that. I'm working hard for that.
Okay. Well, you got off to a losing start in your first game, but then last night you were awesome and pitched 8 shutout innings. What was that like?
Oh, that was. I need that start from last night. My first start was a rough start. one bad inning, but I threw six innings, so I mean, I just take the good things, you know, and I'm healthy, so I just came last night and tried to do my best, you know, and especially in Tokyo, you know, like it's a very cool place, you know, like a lot of history, so I was very excited to pitch last night.
And that was a difficult lineup. How difficult is that Lions lineup to pitch to?
Yeah, especially like I struggled last year against this team, you know, so I'm just taking like I just want to take the mound and do my best, you know. I really feel good, you know. This year I feel better than last year, you know, my stuff, my curve, my changeup. I got more confident, you know. I can throw it in any count, so I just throw my pieces, you know, and facing the guys like a lot of lefties in the lineup and power hitters like Nakamura and Mejia with 30 home runs last year. So
yeah.
So I just tried to stay aggressive, you know, and try to throw strike one and take it from there.
Now, why are you feeling better about yourself?
I think like my conditions feel better, you know. I think I prepare more this offseason because I know what to expect from spring training, you know.
Mm.
Spring training is very hard. They run a lot, you know. You throw a lot of bullpen. So
it's long
spring training. So this year, I think mentally and physically, I prepare myself better.
All right. So now you guys, this year, you have Hermida coming in and Laird coming in and Kensuke Tanaka is back. So it's a different team than it was last year. How is it different?
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference, you know, last year it's a young team, you know, a lot of young guys, and the presence of Hermida and Tanaka and Laird, you know, that's huge for a team, you know, especially Tanaka. His presence is he's a leader, you know, it's a leader, so that's awesome, you know, and he's hitting pretty good, he handled himself pretty good defense, and I mean that changed a lot.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players. I was surprised that he didn't do so well in the United States.
Yeah.
That just shows you how difficult the major leagues are.
Yeah, but you know, if he's in the States, you know, he's good, you know. So, and he's showing right now like why he went to the States.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what's your take on this pitching staff? Because you have such young guys, and last year that was the biggest surprise. We didn't see Uasawa and Urano coming like that, like they did. But what's your take on the pitching staff?
Well, you know, they're young. They're in the 20, 21 year old. But what is impressive, and I like it a lot, is like the presence on the mound of these guys, you know. They pitching like they've been in 5 years, 6 years in this league, you know. And the numbers they put last year, that's impressive, you know. And this year, third year of a lot of them, it's different, you know. Like Otani with his stuff, he's getting better and better, and he's gonna be one of the best pitchers in the league. And Uasawa, his first start was awesome, you know, like complete shutout. So he's showing like he's ready to stay here for a long time.
Now, I didn't think you guys would finish in third place last year, but this year, yeah, I have high expectations for the team. But how do you win the championship in the Pacific League? What has to happen with this pitching staff? Mm-hmm. How do you get like 80 wins or plus to get the championship?
Yeah, well, last year, like, nobody expected us to get to the final series, you know, against the Hawks,
yeah,
especially because the young team, but we made it, you know, and we almost win that seven game last year.
Mm.
And this year, I think like the presence of the veteran guys, they're going to take us to the playoffs, you know. I think the pitching staff is getting better and better. We just need to keep it close games, and they're going to score runs for us, you know, and I think that's the combination of both. They're going to take us to win the Pacific League.
Now, what veterans are you talking about in particular with the pitching staff?
In pitching staff, I think Otani, you know, right now.
We're going to call him a veteran.
He's becoming a veteran, and he's knowing better the league.
Mm.
Of course, myself, I tried to put all the experience I have, you know, and even my first year last year, I just tried to take that to this year and, you know, try to pitch better, you know, have better stars, quality stars, and Uasawa too, you know, with his talent, and Yoshikawa. He takes the 2 years ago. He had great season, so take it. This season is going to be huge for us.
What about the rookie Arihara? Have you been able to see anything that he's been doing?
No, I didn't see him pitch in spring training, but I mean, his body, he's tall, you know, he's so hard, so he's similar to Otani, you know. And I hear he's pitching good in minor leagues right now, so they're expecting to have him soon.
Okay, all right. Now you mentioned Otani. You work alongside of him. Well, how do you evaluate him?
He's a superstar, man. He can hit, he can pitch, he can throw hard, home runs. I mean, wow, he's just awesome, you know, to watch him play when he's pitching and when he's hitting. So, but for me, I think he's a better pitcher, you know, like he's so good pitching. So
better pitcher than hitter.
I don't say he's better.
I mean that's what I always say. I always say I like him as a pitcher better than it. If I'm gonna choose, if I'm the GM and he's gonna play for my team, and I only get one.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him pitch.
Yeah.
But
I thought the same.
But he is a remarkable hitter as well.
Yeah. See, a lot of power, you know, man. And he's young. He knows what he's doing, and what I like the most of him is like he's a very humble person. You know, he's very charismatic. He say hi to everybody. You know, he's always laughing, and that's great. You know, when he takes the mound, he changes his face and doing business. You know, so that's unbelievable to watch for a kid like him. You know,
What does he need to work on and get better at?
I mean, just the command of his pitches. You know, I mean, he get great pitches. He just to throw, try to be able to command all his pitchers, throw it for strikes. He's gonna be great. You know,
and throw it off the plate too.
Off the plate.
I think he's got that down. Somehow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you think he ends up with more home runs this season or more wins?
I think more wins.
More wins.
Yeah. He's more focused on pitching, I think, this year. You know, I can see that every time he takes the mound, he's more focused on pitching. Hitting, you know, like the first game he played, he hit a home run. I know in the second game, so
center.
So
in Chiba, where the win.
Yeah, but I think more wins. I'm going for more wins.
More wins. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what's your take on the Pacific League? Because it looks like it's going to be really tough this year. Even though Oryx is having a bad start, they have a lot of talent. So.
Well, of course, for us, the team to beat this SoftBank, because the last year, you know, like they win it all. They have a tough team, but Buffalo's, you know, even if they're struggling right now, they got a pretty good team, and with this here, Tony Blanco, they signed Tony Blanco, and Nakajima came back from the States, so that make it even tougher, you know, the lineup.
Mm.
But I mean, I just focus right now on my team. You know, my team looks pretty good. I know we can make it, and you know, go so far in the season.
All right. Well, I'm expecting big things from you guys, so stay healthy.
Definitely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Luis. It was great seeing you that night. You pitched that game against the Lions.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Luis. And I enjoyed talking to you. And he's another guy, just like Luis Cruz. After the interview, we got to sit down and we just kept chatting. And it was really nice to, you know, get some of the insight on what he's going through so far in the off season. Of course, he mentioned it in the interview, but the off season and getting ready for this season. But what stood out for you the most?
Well, that was one of the things, and it made me think about it. I guess it brought up the idea of a research study. Because pretty much, you know, in the media, we're so used to throwing out simple explanations.
He's bad, or he must be hurt, or...
Well, you know, I don't mean it that way, but yeah, that's an example of it. You know, he must need surgery because we can look into his soul or something, because we're in the media. But no, I don't mean that, but I mean things like, well, he did that in a first-year player. As a first-year player, he must be able to do this as a second-year player, as if that's logic. You know, so what I was thinking when I was listening to him was, you know, the second year, in one sense, is really a test for foreign players because they come over here and, you know, and they've seen a lot. And now it's a chance for them to, you know, really put that knowledge to use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come in and they've got a new look. They come into the league in a different way, and they come into looking at the training a different way, and they have a fresh approach. And Luis Cruz, going back to Luis Cruz, he said he's much more ready for this year because last year he said he overdid it when he first arrived, and that by basically the end of July he was like all his Japanese teammates, he was just gassed. So he said, you know, they were more proactive in the spring about, you know, making sure the work he was going to do was going to help him be, you know, have a little extra in the tank at the end of the season. And And he said that's his goal, you know, to be ready, you know, to go from wire to wire. So I think that's one of the things that happens is conditioning. But the other thing is, you know, how you adjust at the plate. And so I was always curious, and it just made me think, you know, how often do players do better in their second year? And to be honest, I think it's probably not that common. I would think most of the players have their big years the first year.
Well, I don't know, but I certainly,
but I'm curious. Yeah. I don't know. The point is, I just don't know, and I don't think anybody knows.
But I do think that the whole talk about confidence, because he mentioned it a lot in the talk, and I think that, you know, Hideki Kuriyama, the manager, gave him that confidence, leaving him out there, as I talked about. And I think that's part of it, because, you know, when he says they want him to do more, they want him to have 30 starts, they want him to throw more than 200 innings, he got himself ready to physically to be able to carry that load and to be able to do that. And then to go out against the Lions the other day and throw the 8 shutout innings that he threw were pretty impressive. And it's a fantastic approach by Nippon Ham, if you ask me, because I think and I talked to Jeremy Hermita just briefly, very briefly, but he says he really likes it there, and just the, you know, he's heard some horror stories about what can go on in Japan, and, you know, he has not experienced anything negative so far, not too negative, I should say, because some things that are different can be perceived negative depending on how, you know, what your action is to it. But definitely, you know, Nippon Ham, I have to applaud them, because that's sort of, to me, it's like a, obviously, with Mendoza being 31, it's not player development, but it's sort of like that approach to bringing in a new entity and trying to develop it and put it in this in the direction that you want to move. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said, he's 31, so it's not like they're going to teach him too many more new tricks, but they can certainly get him used to what he's going to be facing in terms of the batters, and they can certainly get him you know, very oriented to Japanese baseball, and then get him used to it and how to approach the batters.
Well, I think what you said, I think, bears repetition. So I don't want you to, I'll say it in the sense that, telling him we want more and so he can go out and prepare and do more is kind of unusual in Japan, because normally what they say is like, yeah, you know, just sort of do what you did last year. They don't usually, my experience is they don't think too much about what they want from the foreign hitters, because, you know, it's the foreign hitters or the foreign pitchers. It's like you succeed or you're going to be gone. The fact that there's that reinforcement, this is what we want you to do, and go out and work on it, and you know, and have that sort of positive, we're working, you know, this is part of a project, you know, like they were a real team, as opposed to we're the team and we're going to do what we want and we just expect you to be your best.
Right.
You know, I think that's an interesting approach. Of course, the other reason I think that was the first thing I thought when I heard that was, well, if you're the Fighters, you need a guy like that who's going to throw 200 innings, because then that allows you to play your game. And the game I'm talking to isn't baseball. It's called Vision Quest, the search for situations where Yuki Saito can be effective.
That's what I was going to say.
Because if you're going to be looking for these matchups, you know, you're going to find in your computer data that Yuki Saito pitches better against guys who are born in March.
In day games in
Western Japan, they're going to find all those games and say, we want this guy to start this game, because Kuriyama's hobby is trying to figure out what to do with Yuki Saito.
You keep saying Kuriyama, and I'm thinking it's management, man. It's the team. What is up with this? Why don't they just figure it out? And, you know, it was so funny. I was in the office and I said,
I think Kuriyama's just bought into that completely. It's just sort of his little pet project. He's decided, they gave him the ball and said, you figure it out how to work it. And he's gone, I'm going to figure this out. Now he's got to be in his bonnet about it.
You know what I think? I think they gave him a quota. They say, I don't care how you do it, but you get him in the 5 games this year. And I don't care where. Just get him in.
I know Fighters people in the Fighters organization better than that.
Okay, well, here's the thing is I was at the office and I told someone, oh, Yuki Saito is going to throw today. And they got all excited, of course. The woman who fits into the demographic that
the handkerchief prince.
Right, right. Still in that mold.
Okay.
And so she was all excited. Oh, he's going to throw. I said, yeah, well, you know, he's going to lose. And you better, you know, get it on TV fast because he'll be out of there soon. And, you know, he lasted longer than I thought he would last, which was into the fifth inning or something like
that. Well, yeah. But if you can't protect an 8-run lead, what are you going to do with a guy? We did protect it. I mean, he didn't give
Take
it all
him out behind the barn.
Hashtag high heat.
So, well, no, and I don't think it's I think Kuriyama's, you know, because Saito was the reason that Matsuzawa is the pitching coach at Nippon Ham and not still. And Masato Yoshi went back to announcing, and then now he's with the SoftBank Hawks.
He just dropped his stuff and ran. Okay.
Well, he said to me, I asked him last year, I said, are you interested in going back coaching? I didn't know he'd be with SoftBank this year. And he said, yes, but if I do, it'll be a team where there is a dialogue with the manager about what's going on with the pitchers instead of this is our program, you're going to live with it.
Well, so, getting back to the Mendoza talk, I think
indeed.
I think the other interesting thing for me was that he called Ohtani a veteran at 20, a third-year guy, a veteran, and I loved it because I think it speaks to Ohtani's work ethic and how he executes his plan like a veteran. Because you see him, when I was there that day, he was out working with the pitchers. But then I'm sure on the days when he's supposed to, whatever he's got to do, whatever his regimen and routine, because I'm sure it's different every day. Mm-hmm. And he just goes out and works. He's not wasting any time because I don't think he has much to waste. But he's executing the plan. I think that just, you know, that lends to what veterans do. They just get their work done. They work hard. They keep their nose to the grindstone. And I think he looks and he acts like a veteran in that respect. I don't think it's because of his pitching, because he still, although he pitched great on Sunday today, but.
Nose to the ground. Well, yeah, that sets him apart from all those Japanese guys who are just kind of lazing around and blowing off the coaches.
There are some.
There are a few.
There are some.
That's what head coaches are for, to remind us that there are a few guys who are lazy. And yeah, I've had people in teams tell me about lazy players, lazy Japanese players, sure. But it's pretty rare. The question, of course, is whether you're working or you're practicing. Does that make sense? Does that distinction make sense? Whether you are actually thinking about what you're doing or just doing it.
Right. I got you. Okay.
Well, what do you think about the fighters in general?
You know, I looked at the team ERA, and I think when I looked at it, it was second in the Pacific League, and you know, I think it's pretty sustainable for them because of the guys he talked about. He didn't talk about Urano very much, but he really likes Urasawa, and I like him too, and I like Ohtani, obviously. But after that, I'm just not, you know, obviously with Luis, if he's going to pitch well, that gives him a really good three.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those guys can carry him. And now, you know, they're going to spot start Yuki Saito and Masaru Takeda. Well,
If they spot start Yuki Saito, they're going to need spot remover.
Hashtag high heat.
That's a good one. But you know what? I just don't know what the rest of the guys are going to do. But of course, I didn't know last year, and they ended up in third place. And like I
said, that was Urano. That was Mendoza, who ate up all the innings, and that was Urano, and that was Uwasawa, who nobody expected those two.
Yeah, well, I mean, but though on those, let's just look at the big picture, though. None of those guys pitched a lot of complete games, so they still had to use the bullpen, and I think the bullpen is kind of iffy for me, and that's the one area I worry about for them. When it gets late, and you know, seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, they have to bridge that gap. And even when they get to the closer, I mean, he's got nasty stuff, but he's still hittable, Masui, for some reason. And he had a good game today, but he's really up and down to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. And then, you know, Hisashi Takeda will be back eventually. But.
And Hiroshi Kisanuki is going to give him some innings when they need, you know, a spot start here and there.
So
you know,
until that time, he'll be having his signed baseball cards to give out to the fans on the field every day.
But the other thing about their bullpen and their team is it's pretty right-handed. A lot of right-handed starters, a lot of right-handed relievers.
Other than me and Ishii.
And Ishii, I guess, is in there. But
I saw him the other day.
I did, too. So, I mean, that's the one thing I think if they're going to stumble against SoftBank or in some close games, it's because they don't have a really good left-handed reliever to come in and get those guys out, a reliable guy.
I think that'll cost them here and there. The other thing I like about the Fighters that, we did the preview. My big question about the Fighters is how is Kurihara going to handle all these guys with sort of question mark defensive roles?
Mm.
Because Hermida is not a good outfielder. And, so obviously he's got a place, which is he's the DH 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohtani's the DH 3 days a week or two. So that's that. They have Laird at third base. Nakashima's at short. It was kind of just like, here, go here and do this. Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be a little more like what we saw 2 years ago when Yoshio Itoi and Kensuke Tanaka were both gone, and it was like, the monkeys in a barrel or something. It's like, you don't know what's going to come out. Who's going to be playing second base today? It was like Kuriyama was at Tokyo Dome and he found Tatsunori Hara's iPhone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're 10-3. They're atop the standings right now, and they're looking pretty good. And they're hitting enough. They're pitching enough. They look like they have balance. I watched Brandon Laird take BP the other day, and not his swing or his approach or anything, but just the way the ball came off his back kind of reminded me of Casey McGee and what he did. Although, obviously the average
isn't there. They have a slight physical resemblance there, too.
Maybe slight, but I mean, and just like Luis said, a guy like Jeremy Hermida, and you get Kensuke Tanaka along with a Laird, and those guys can really, I think they can be a real solid heart of the order kind of group. And I read an article the other day about Kensuke Tanaka talking about the fact that he doesn't really consider himself the traditional number two guy now hitting where he's hitting. He's hitting number two, which is where he hit a lot, I think, before with the Fighters, and he's considering
third,
he's considering.
He was a leadoff hitter quite a bit as well.
Yeah, he's considering himself the first number three hitter, which I thought was interesting because he didn't have a sacrifice bunt at the time that this article came out, and I don't know if he has one yet. But then the skipper is also quoted as saying he's the ideal kind of guy I need in my lineup to play the kind of baseball I want to play. So I just think they're complete. I think they're complete in terms of what they want to do and their approach and everything.
Well, pretty much all the questions I've had about the Fighters, I think I share your issues with the bullpen, but pretty much they just answered, can Nakashima play shortstop? And the answer is yes. I mean, he was a really good second baseman. He's a pretty decent shortstop.
Yeah.
I haven't seen his arm. I haven't really graded out his arm yet, so I can't say. But, yeah, so far they're not falling apart, and Laird can handle the position third base defensively, and they've got three Ishikawas, and I know two of them can play. One of them they know can play, the catcher, who's 19. This guy's a really good player. And then there's another guy. This is the thing about the Fighters. Now, okay, Hermita's done fine. Laird has done fine. I didn't have high hopes really for either of them, but they're coming along well. They're making the adjustments so far. I think this is a real team. And I'll tell you, again, as far as they have more. They're like the – remember the KTEL teleinfo commercials? And here's more. It's like, here's the Fighters and there's more. They've got a little bit of SoftBank's problem. They got more depth than they know what to do with. But Kuriyama's just saying, okay, this is your job. This is your job. This is your job. And it seems well-defined. I don't know if it is well-defined, but that's the appearance I'm getting.
Well, they look good except for those doggone gold jerseys. And the other day when they played the Buffaloes and the Buffaloes had their version of the gold jerseys out there, it was like, what's going on out here? Do you people talk? Don't wear the same dress to the dance, huh?
I'll remember that next time I'm tempted to wear a dress to the dance.
Come on, gentlemen. All right.
I like him a lot of things. As far as the other pitcher, of course, Arihara, you mentioned him, and I think we're going to see him event. That's their plan, is that he's going to be in the starting rotation at some point. Hopefully it'll be this season and we'll get to see him. So.
Yep. All right, now for a two-seam transition over to the Swallows pitching staff, and the Yakult Swallows set an MPB record on Saturday with 14 consecutive games holding their opponents to 3 runs or fewer from the start of the season, and the string was snapped on Tokyo Dome on Sunday in the Tokyo series, but the record now belongs to Yakult. They surpassed the 1956 Nishitetsu Lions, who I believe won the Japan series that year. So that's, something the Swallows can try to match since they surpassed the record. They can try to match the Japan series championship. Now, I noticed something in these games, and I wanted to bring up a couple things.
Okay.
One was the interesting things is that, it's not just the guys on the mound. They're playing some pretty good defense as well. And
I almost wanted to bark into the microphone here.
Well, you are.
Hashtag hi.
Okay. Bark into the microphone and interrupt you like I am wont to do. And I used to do all the time as you know.
So wait a minute.
Hold on.
This is the better version?
Yes. Because okay. I had that in mind, but I didn't do it. I let you pause.
I didn't pause. You just interrupted. Go ahead.
What I'm going to say is that you go off with, I'm going to talk about the Yakult pitchers. And I'm going to say, when are you going to get to the defense?
It was the second sentence in.
You started pitchers. I'm going to say it ain't only the pitchers. And I would say it's probably more than just the pitchers.
Well, they're keeping the ball in the park, which they didn't do a lot of at the beginning of last year.
That's the thing, is because of the synergy. You know, I'm not going to say the defense isn't causing the home runs, but the defense encourages. It's like a prod to try to make better pitches than you're capable of making.
Okay.
So a better defense will decrease the number of home runs you allow, because you're less worried about making your pitches that you can't make. Now that's kind of a pseudo scientific stuff, but I think, you can win with pretty mediocre pitching, but it's very hard to find a team that's going to win with really bad defense.
Well, they were catching the ball, and on Sunday Tetsuto Yamada started this glove flip double play that was just gorgeous. And, I don't think he could have done that last year. I don't think he had the confidence.
I don't think so. I don't think he could have done that a week ago. I was watching him try his flips.
A week ago. Well, he was moving to his right. And I know he worked really hard in the, I did a story, translated, of course. But
I saw that. Saw that story. I didn't.
That he had worked really hard in spring. And he's just working on his defense and all the time. And I think that was part of it. And he looked like a second baseman today. That's the first time I really looked at him and thought, oh, okay, he's not just a guy who is put at that position.
Mm.
He looks like a guy who could play that position after I saw him. Not just today, but today he really looked the part.
I was talking about him with my colleague the other day, and we were talking about him. I think he read the feature that went out in the Japan Times today.
Mm-hmm.
And, I doubt if he could play second base in the majors. And the reason I say that is because he has lazy feet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean he's lazy, but I mean just as he has slow steps, in the sense that he's, I just see him getting crushed by base runners.
Well, yeah. Yeah, he'd get Nishioka'd.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think Toritani can handle it. I think, somebody who's got quick steps, Toritani, I think Kawasaki, I think Aki Iwamura was a surprise. But somebody who could – I look at that and I think he would have a lot of difficulty, because he's used to, as Luis Cruz said, kind of polite Japanese game, respectful Japanese game. So – but that being said, I think he could hit in the majors. I think if he went to the majors right now, he'd be out of, he'd probably run through AA in a few months, and he'd probably be out of AAA in a few more months, and he'd hit.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are going to give, and is Shingo Takatsu, is he the only pitching coach?
No, of course not. This is a this is a Japanese.
I see Ito there, and Tomohito.
Ito. Yeah, he's still there. But Takatsu has taken over the number one spot, yeah.
Right, so I think a lot of people are going to give him credit. But, I think when you get your brains beat out for a year, you kind of learn to make adjustments. And I think they learned to make their adjustments last year. And here's an interesting thing too about these games. Now they went, they had the 13 game, 14 game string where they held opponents three runs or fewer, but they only went 8-6. And you would think if you did such great work on the mound that you'd have a better record to show for it. And 10 of the games were one run games, and they went 4-6 in those games. So they needed to be. They needed the pitching to keep the game close, and that's what they got. But they still didn't win a lot of those games, or the majority of those games, I should say.
Yeah, the offense has been sluggish. I mean, like pretty much everybody's offense except the Bay Stars, I would guess. But the defense has been good, and I'll tell you, I've put out a story. It's now on the internet, and it'll be coming out in today's Japan Times. Speaking of today, is when the podcast is released on Monday. Mm-hmm. About Tetsuto Yamada and his defense. So I was catching up with the Gibsons. So just John. I mean, the whole family, that's another story. To do this story, I talked to a lot of people, or I should say everyone sort of wanted to talk about it. And Hajime Miki, who's the first team infielding coach this year, he'd been on the farm team last year. Mm-hmm. And Kazuki Fukuchi, who's the outfield defense coach starting last year. And we talked about the Swallows defense and also talked to Keiji Obiki, mm-hmm. Who came over. And basically the reason, you know, when Ibiki came, I got him snoring now. Ibiki means snoring Japanese. So anyway, when Obiki, which doesn't mean snoring, came over, I was thinking, geez, just what the Swallows need, a 31-year-old shortstop who can't hit his weight. But what he gives them is somebody who knows what he's doing in the middle of the infield. Yeah. Absolutely knows what he's doing. And what they had last year was a revolving door at shortstop. They had a revolving door in center field. And as much as I like Morioka, the team captain, he ain't no shortstop. And the reason the Dragons let him go was because he was a shortstop who couldn't play shortstop. Mm. He could hit. He was a carbon copy of Shinichi Nemoto of the Marines. He's a guy who's fast, but he can't steal bases. He doesn't have a shortstop's arm. He doesn't have great range, but he's quick. And when I was watching him and Yamada playing second base in some double play drills with Obiki a couple of weeks ago, uh-huh. I was really thought, okay, Morioka can really play. He's good on the second base side of the double play. Mm-hmm. But he was really bad at shortstop last year. He was bad on the double play, and it didn't help Yamada to be in his first year regular when he's got six double play partners.
Yeah.
Okay, so Obiki's there, sort of the captain of the infield, and Miki said, you know, he set a very high bar for everybody. So I think that's one part of that, both for the guys who play on either side of him, for Yamada and for third baseman Shingo Kawabata. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge thing for them because their defense is just horrible. The other thing is, you know, and we talked about it in March, was center field. You know, basically my opinion and your opinion merged in that, you know, Yuhei Takai doesn't belong in center field.
Yeah, he's not a solution.
No, he's not a solution. Well, let's put it this way. He's not the ideal solution. But the Swallows, for some reason or another, now Manaka is really – he's completely on board with the defense first. Whenever the Swallows have been very successful when they've had fast defensive teams.
Uh-huh.
When they've had really, really good defense, they've been successful more often than not. When they've been saying, "Well, we should hit a lot of home runs because we're playing in Jingu," they finish last place more often than not. I mean, that wasn't Ogawa. Ogawa was an infielder and he was a defense first guy too, but he was sort of clutching at straws when everybody got hurt. He got used to, you know, the fielding emergency lineups, you know, calling 911 to get a lineup together or something.
Right. Well, so, I mean, yeah.
So anyway, to make it short, Yuhei Takai, he said, was he says his weakness is we have to live with his weaknesses, which is balls hit straight to him that knuckle. He's going to have problems reading them. And he's 31 years old. He's not going to get used to that real easily. And by the time he does get used to it, he won't be fast enough to play center field. He's probably fast enough to play now, but he's not a great solution, but they're working hard and everybody's on the right page. And I think that's the thing that they're building, is they're trying to build a defense that the pitchers can rely on. Last year, they had a defense that the pitchers, you know, they didn't want to turn their back and see who was playing behind them because they were afraid to look.
Right, yeah, and they were certainly afraid to look and see what was going on. Well, the baseball data site has them at 80% quality starts this season through 15 games, so that's through Sunday's games. But that's only second in the league. You know who's got the top spot is the Hiroshima Carp. They're at 85. So they're getting quality starts. Let's just put it that way. And okay. And the reason they're able to stay out there is because a lot of balls that get hit on the ground and in the air are being caught now instead of rolling around, or, you know, end up being hits or letting guys on base, and they're turning double plays. So they're looking good. So, but I just wanted people to realize that, you know, just getting a quality start doesn't guarantee you a win, and just getting a quality start isn't the pitcher's responsibility. It's the fielder's responsibility as well, and they're doing really good at both of those things.
Yeah, you just got to set me up when you mention the pitchers first, so it just, the red flags are waving. I apologize. Well,
they're waving on two sentences, man, but that's all right.
I gave you two sentences.
Yeah, you gave me two sentences. What was I waiting for?
I gave you two sentences, buddy boy. I used to not even give you two words. That was on a good day.
And with that, we'll make a
four... Don't start with me, Gibson.
Jesus, let me finish. We'll make a four-seam transition.
Oh, it's nostalgia. Okay. Nostalgia.
We'll make a four-seam transition to struggling skippers. Now, I just wanted to touch on them quickly. And Dave Okubo of the Rakuten Eagles, I think he's doing okay considering the talent he's got. I just think he needs to slow Willie Mopena's roll a little bit because he's letting him run wild on the bases. And I don't think that next base mentality is good for the guys who aren't that fast. You know, Okubo, if you can outrun the guy, I don't think you should let him try to...
Well, that's mean.
Let him get that's to the next mean. Base.
That's mean. Okay, that's mean. Dave Okubo couldn't. He runs, as Bill James once wrote about Terry Kennedy, slower than the fat girl chasing her chihuahua up the stairs.
Well, let's put it this way. He's a lot lighter than he was in his playing days. So he's doing okay. He's a tinkerer, and he's put out lots of lineups, and he's had a lot of changes, and they don't have a great deal of talent. I think he's grappling with how to handle his squad. And I think it's a process. It's kind of fluid for him because he's got a new core. The guys who are like core players are the table setters, and they brought in a bunch of guys like Gabby Sanchez and Willie Moe and Zealous Wheeler, who got hurt and had to be deactivated. But those guys are supposed to supply the power. But the most of the guys like Shima and Fujita, the core guys, and Ginji, they don't hit for a lot of power. So he's got these table setters, and he's trying to figure it out. And they're stealing more bases. They've stolen more than they have, or they're on a pace to steal a lot more than they had last year. But offensively, they're just kind of iffy. And they win when they get a good pitching performance once in a while. And, I like him. At first, I was really against this Yuki Matsui in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
But he brought him in on Saturday to get out of a bases-loaded jam. And then Yuki came out in the ninth inning and got the save. And, you know, he hasn't blown a save chance yet. He's looked pretty good in his role closing out games. I like what he's doing. I think it's going to give him real confidence. I think they're going to be okay. And I don't think they're going to finish in last, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs still. But I think it's kind of fun to watch them, even though they have a bad record.
Well, I think the team you should be worried about getting runners thrown out on the bases is the Dragons.
Hey, I'm not worried about them because I have no expectations. How's that?
Lowered expectations.
I'm watching this season, and we've gone one rotation, right? Every team has faced every other team in its league once now, because we're 15 games through, and there's five other teams for them to play. So, and I'm looking at the Dragons, and I'm thinking, hey, I have this feeling of ambivalence. I picked you guys to finish last. You know, make me look good. But look,
I say good, that to every team.
Make look me good look. While you make me look good. So don't get blown out 9-0 every night. You know what I mean? You look good, I look good, and then everything's good. But so I have these.
Remember, it's better to look good than to feel good.
But I'm looking at them, and their manager for me, he's kind of new too, because I don't think he's going to do much this year in terms of playing on the field anyway. So I think this is going to be new for him, where he's watching all the time. Although he wanted to get involved in today's game, so he sent himself up there to pinch hit and couldn't get the bunt down. Yeah. I wonder what he's going to tell himself in the mirror.
I know. What are you going to do? Shout at yourself in the dugout? You rotten, good for nothing.
So what do you got on Okubo?
Oh, well, I was thinking about base running outs, which I started counting this year, although just sort of tallying them up from the Nikon Sports. And I was just thinking, well, Willie Mopeña has been thrown out twice. Of course, that doesn't cause amount other havoc that he's caused. This is only bases that he gave up. You know, he was...
Right. He should have been out another three times. He just couldn't complete the throw.
So it's really not a lot. A lot of guys have been thrown out twice, so it's really not that big a deal. It's just that the Dragons have lost a lot of guys on base. Oryx has lost two runners on base in that respect this season. That seems pretty small. Anyway, so that's what I was thinking. Rock 10's 4, the Giants are 3, the Carp got quite a few.
Okay, what about Okubo for you?
Okubo, I guess I cringe when I see him go to the bullpen. I think he does too. Well, I think he's going to... He loves his lefty righty switches more than I think he should.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm watching him going, it's like, what was it? He brought in a left-hander to face one guy because he had two right-handed guys coming up, and you know he's going to go to the left-hander, he's going to go to the right. I mean, what are the chances one of these guys doesn't have it? And it turned out that he lost that game. So I'm just thinking, go with the basics. Go with guys who can, who can execute their pitches, and then worry about whether they're left-handed or right-handed next.
Yeah.
He does that, and it was like the seventh inning.
Kind of early.
Yeah, it was early for a team that, it wasn't a crucial, it's not a, I don't know. I just got the feeling that he's trying hard to execute everything.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah, and I get the feeling, calm down, dude. You're not in a bar fight.
Well, my thing is just like yours, maybe in a different respect, though. I mean, why are you bringing in a guy who's not much better than the guy who was out there, and he's not much better than the other guy you could have brought in? I mean, when the outcome is pretty much going to be the same, you're either going to walk him or give up a hit. I mean, I shouldn't give up a hit. He's going to give up some contact. Okay, so we don't know if it's going to be a hit or not. But
yeah, show some confidence in your guys. I think that's the other thing. This is something that I guess he didn't have with the Lions when he was there, which is his thing was he would when he was a hitting coach, this guy's going to be great. This guy's going to be great, and he kept hyping these kids who were gung ho. He came out of the sort of Shigeo Nagashima, I like guys who, have with the dirty uniforms kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept promoting the guy, giving jobs to guys like Toshihisa Nishi, who was a real, a scrapper, and Motoki, eventually he became that way. You know, guys who were in that mold more than players who had real talent. And he backs them up and he supports them. And then when they don't do well, he looks for the next guy. So it's like, I just don't have a great sense for his talent judgment. Or, he backs guys he likes, plays favorites. I just don't see that working yet.
They're 500. I mean, it's not so bad. Now,
he's not going to cost him the pennant.
No, not yet. Kimiyasu Kudo with SoftBank, they're kind of struggling.
Struggling in the sense that
our expectations for them were higher than 500. That's what.
Well, they're playing okay. I think they're doing all right. The pieces are coming together. They're going to come together for them.
I agree. I just think it's an adjustment to, for the players to figure out what he wants to do, what the plan is. And you talked about, and Torita-san, when he was on, talked about the communication, which is good. And, the way that he wants to develop his pitchers and the way he wants the pitch sequences to go and all that stuff. my whole concern, and I wrote a blog post about it, I think, 2 months ago, and I said it's his personality. He can grate on people, and I think the concern for me is that because he's learning, you know, these guys can obviously win without him. They won last year.
And how does he grate on people? I'm curious, because I think that's an interesting statement. I think that's...
Well, the few times I've talked to him, the few times that I've seen him talking...
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't a one-on-one conversation. I was just there. And one time was actually with you at Cebu Dome. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those guys who's got all the knowledge. He's got everything.
Yep, knows it all.
And it's that kind of personality, and it came across on TV when he was doing his analysis on TV. I used to watch a lot. And the way he would talk down to the audience, you know, this and that and the other, and it just, it can bother people. And I think when you put a person like that in power, and they're in charge of an entire organization's players, that needs to be reined in sometimes. And I don't think, you know, I think it could go...
Although we've got a whole bunch of successful managers who are just like that. I mean, Katsuya Nomura built a big career on being the smartest guy in the world.
Well, yeah, but it took him a while, right? I don't think he fell off the playing boat one day into the managerial dugout and was the smartest guy. I think he took some time to learn. We know he's in his infancy stage still, Kudo is.
Yeah.
And so I think he needs to, I think it's just a process. I think it's going to come together.
Could be. Because he does. He has he knows a lot.
I agree.
He knows a lot. And the part of the problem is, well, you know, of course, here's the other thing. As long as everybody's communicating, I think that's the plan. I mean, if that works, where people are exchanging information and things are getting shared and opinions are being listened to, you know, he can say, you know, this is what we're going to do. But if he actually has that feedback loop and has the, you know, the two things that Trey Hillman always talked about with Nippon Ham, which is one is having communication and the other is having accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have the accountability on the other hand, you know, this is my idea. This is what I'm going to do. It didn't work. How can we fix it? You know, if there's that loop,
right,
build on it, that's good. If there's not an accountability, and I never had this feeling that he wasn't accountable. He's always, you know, taking responsibility for the dumb stuff he's done. Kudo, that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like any other baseball player. Yeah, I should have been better. I was better than I looked. But
yeah, well, I'm not blaming him for the fact that they couldn't score a run over a 36-inning stretch. And finally, in that 37th inning, they got a run. And then a few innings later, they got another run. And then they got shut out on Sunday. So I'm not blaming him. And I'm really not. I just think it's going to take time for everything to come together. But these guys have too much talent and too much ability and too much knowledge to fail. So I think it's going to come together. Now, I want to move along because we're going to run out of time here. You know, the Lions with Tanabe, I think, like you talked about before, the fact that he's not so new, I think just the fact
No, he's new.
He's new, well, and I'm counting him, and he's doing well. They're doing well. I'm you know, again, nobody's really killing it. So, the Fighters are 10-3. And Cebu and some other teams are right there behind him with 7 wins. But, you know, he's doing fine, and I expected him to do fine. I don't think it's about him. I think so much about him. I think it's more about the talent level and the pitching. And if that comes together, they'll move up and make the playoffs. And if not, there's nothing he can do about it because he can't throw.
So can we change the subject to, I can now retire the Kenjiro Nomura, you know who we're talking about, and change it for Koichi Ogata.
Yeah, well, Koichi Ogata.
The faces have changed, but the game remains the same.
Yeah,
my thing with Nomura was that everybody else in 2011, when the offense went out of the game, everybody else was using their big pitchers more.
Uh-huh.
Everybody except Kenjiro Nomura kept throwing out to the weak guys in the bullpen to make sure they were still healthy. You know, make sure they could still give up runs.
Make sure they were good enough at getting up runs. I'm not impressed with his in-game management. He's putting out Takahiro Arai, and I guess that means he's kind of an old school guy because he thinks veterans are going to be able to lose better than the new guys. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't like what he's doing.
So I think the Arai thing was kind of a stopgap right now. But I think, yes, he is. He doesn't have a problem using less established players. I mean, where is is Shota Dobayashi anywhere?
Yeah, he came up and helped them in that three-game sweep that they suffered to the Dragons, at the hands of the Dragons, the weekend so before last. But he did come up, yeah.
This was. Okay. What got me about, I guess it, well, it was the first day. It was on Wednesday, he left Daichi Osera in after 100, I'm going to say, I think it was after 135 pitches in a run game to protect the lead in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
And what's smart about that?
Cost him the game. So it I would say.
Actually, then he brought in Shota Nakazaki to lose it, which is, that's okay. Shota Nakazaki is a pitcher I actually like quite a bit. So, but the point is, you could have had Shota Nakazaki come in with a one run lead instead of with a game tied, instead of, you know, at least fresh and not gassed.
Mm.
Okay. So anyway, the next day I'm watching, okay, here's Kenta Maeda, and he's given up a couple of hard shots, and he's thrown 117 pitches through seven innings. I'm thinking he's going to do it again. He's going to say, well, he's my ace, so he can throw 150. But he learned his lesson, at least for a day.
Hmm.
He went to the bullpen, and it saved him the game. You know, and they won a 1-0 instead of losing 2-1. You know, they won 1-0, and I thought, okay, that's good. And I haven't seen a game since the Maeda game, so I don't know. I haven't been following their tortuous efforts over the weekend. But I think, he's in a little bit of a, I really shouldn't speculate too much. I don't know. Some of the things he says are kind of weird.
Yeah.
I've never met him, and I don't have any feel for what he's doing. But the phrases he makes about his players, when somebody asked the reporter, and this could just be a reporter thing. Maybe he's just not used to being the manager and talking to the media, which is one of the manager's job. And he said, when about Kuroda, well, if we didn't have him, we couldn't compete this year. Huh? And Brad Eldred, when he got hurt, well, we've got nobody to replace him. You got a bunch of people
you're paying a lot of people to be able to replace him, that's for sure.
What are you going to do? You're going to play eight people and then have nobody covering first base?
Hey, Kuzma, you can't replace him.
That'd be awfully hard to win if you had an out, if you just gave him an out every time through the order.
Yeah, well.
Nobody first base. That would be a problem. But.
Yeah, I'm not liking what I see out there. But again, it's a process, and he's, you know, he's just got to remain calm, and you know, at least he's not real excitable like Kudo, who's jumping around in the dugout when they score runs. But the guy I really like, and I like what he's doing, and obviously the record could be better, and I think it's going to get better, is Mitsuru Manaka with the Swallows. And I just like his demeanor in the dugout. He's just really calm and cool. He doesn't get overexcited or extremely angry. Even when he came out to argue a call the other day, he was, excuse me, Mr. Umpire, are you sure you got that right?
First of all, he's like Beavis Sr. He's always got a smile on his face, except, you know, I guess when other than the look of surprise or something. Pretty much he's always smiling. He's a very pleasant, controlled, calm guy.
Yep. Yeah.
So what I like about him is that, from talking with his coaches, doing that story, is that it seems to be, you know, he's got an Ochiai sort of, in essence, an Ochiai way of running the team. In one sense, meaning, as I said about Ochiai, let the players play and let the coaches coach.
Mm.
Talk to the coaches about what you want them to do and let them do it. And then talk to the players about what, you know, you want them to do and let them do it.
And if they don't do it, they're on the bench.
And then, well, of course, if you're Ochiai, then you could give them private hitting lessons. As a Tony Blanco told me, and a number of players told me, he was their best hitting coach.
Yeah. Well, that
but,
too.
That too. Okay. So, yeah. So I like that calm demeanor. Yes. The Swallows had a plan this year, which was defense, defense, defense. And then, you know, see what happens after that. So speaking about going back to Yuhei Takai, now, they don't have Lastings Millage and they don't have Vladimir Valentin. So you and I were both saying, and I don't know if somebody else might have said it as well, why don't they shift Takai, who's not an ideal center fielder, with somebody like Hiane or Ueda or Miwa? They got a track team on the bench.
Right.
Guys who can really pick it in center field. But why not use those guys? And the answer was, he's our guy. He's the guy we need to depend on. We just can't be, you know, throwing in the towel and saying we want you. We want to keep we want to have the core unit know what their roles are.
Right.
In center, we want him to play center field and get better. We got a long-term view. This is the opposite of the Giants' view on Kobayashi, which is, we don't think you're going to make it right now.
See ya. See ya, punk. Yeah, hey, Rook. All right. Well, we'll keep, you know, I want to keep an eye on this throughout the season, and I'll be updating people on the records and all that stuff. I'll tweet it out. I want to talk about the guys who just kind of came out of the blue. So we'll make our last transition a seamless transition. And I want to talk about quickly Francisco Caballero. Oh, no. Caraballo. And then Nagisa Arakaki and Kazuya Fukuda, one of my favorite.
We call him Kazuya Babe Fukuda.
Yeah, one of my favorite swingers in the league. And then Tomoya Yagi, it needs to be on this list too because about 10 days ago he won his first game in 980+ days. So these guys all came out of nowhere and had big days. And Caraballo, I think it was 4 years between home runs.
Yeah.
And Nagisa.
Well, 4 years between Pacific League home runs. He hit a whole mess of them in Guma.
I'm sorry. MPB home runs. How's that?
Okay.
And then Arakaki won his first game in a while. Fukuda hit. It was 4 years between homers and then 5 years between two home run games.
I'm surprised it was only 5 years because he's not a big home run guy.
That's true, but he doesn't get a lot of play. He hasn't been, since Bobby left, he hasn't really been getting a lot of play. I think that's reflected.
Didn't get that much when Bobby was there because he was always hurt.
Yeah, but he played. I mean, he at least got his pinch hit appearances and stuff. He's just kind of a guy who goes through the workouts and doesn't get to play in the games a lot of times. But yeah, these guys came out of nowhere and had big days. Now, Caraballo, I think the thing that's most notable about him right now is that he worked with Alex Ramirez. When Alex was with the Gunma, what was it?
Diamond Pegasus.
Diamond Pegasus in the Independent League, and he was the BC League's first Triple Crown winner.
Mm-hmm.
He batted .396 with 33 homers and 87 RBIs, and that was last season. And how many games was it? You said something like 60?
Like 59.
Something like that. So, I mean, he really exploded. He's 31, though. So, if he's not going to...
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting because those numbers are so eye popping, and you don't want to discredit them because they're an unknown quantity. But
inferior is what you want to say, right?
Well, right. You don't want to. You know, what you have to remember is he did what if you're the best hitter in the league, you did exactly what you're supposed to do, which was blow the league out of the water.
Mm.
It's hard to do. It's almost physically harder to do anything more. I don't care how good a hitter you are. It's almost harder to do any better than you did.
Yeah.
So it's like you really can't say, well, that was the Independent League. You got to say, let's see what he can do here because that was kind of fun.
I agree. And so, you know, apparently Alex Ramirez has been working with him and it seems to be paying off. You know, I did see some of the at-bats he had up in Sendai against the Eagles and he's got good plate coverage. He was the time that I saw that he struck out on a pitch, it was way out of the strike zone. But I think he's good with pitches in the zone. He hit a monstrous home run at Kyocera Dome that was up in the upper deck. And I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a ball hit that hard in that dome that wasn't in a batting practice or that was the farthest game home run I'd seen. So
yeah, he's like the natural that age.
So interesting, but like I say, at 31, you don't really have a lot of time to play around anymore. He's got to produce, or he's
sure. Know. So, but anyway, that was fun. It was a fun week in that respect.
And the retread Tomoya Yagi, although he did lose did he lose the game the other day? I think the Dragons almost got him off the hook on Saturday, but I think he ended up losing that game.
He got beat up pretty good.
Yeah, he got knocked around. He's a retread. I mean, you know, we laughed when we did the preview and said that he's there. And, you know, I really didn't think he was going to be in the rotation. But they darn near won that game that he started. He was the losing pitcher on Saturday in an 8-6 loss to the.
But then, of course, the game before he outpitched Hiroki Kuroda, who wrote that script.
So yeah, that's baseball, you know. that's baseball. They got lucky. And Nagisa Arakaki, I joked the other day that, you know, the Dragons losing to him the way they did proves that they're going to be a last place team.
That was mean.
Well, I believe it. Like I said, I'm ambivalent, but I want to be right. I'd rather be right than to have them win the championship. Isn't that terrible?
That's my position, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. It's better to be right than praiseworthy to be moral.
All right. Well, we're getting long, so the producer's giving me the eye, so we're gonna have to wrap it up here. No questions this week. We will be back next week. Please send us any questions or comments you have to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us with the hashtag HighHeat at JBW Podcast, or you can leave us a note on the Facebook page. Look for us on iTunes. We will see you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See ya.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.